This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play Podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP Podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play Podcast. And football season is now finally in the books, one of our favorite times of the year, and it finished up, and it's tough to see it come to an end. But let's kick off by talking about the end of Goochland's run. Just a frustrating finish for the Bulldogs after a tremendous season.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a weird deal. Goochland sort of, it needed a little bit of luck sort of coming into the game. They were shorthanded, missing one of their better players, and Perry Snead Johnson, who, I mean, poor guy gets hurt on the last play of the last practice coming into the game. He's a big weapon for them, particularly in the passing attack. And, you know, everything that just sort of went, that could go wrong, went wrong early on. A couple fumbles, and then, you know, but Graham is sort of letting them linger a little bit, missing some field goals here and there, and you know, it's sitting there at 10-3 in the middle of the second quarter. You're like, all right, Goochland's got a chance. And then, I mean, we've talked about how important he is all the time to this program. Devin McCray winds up hurting his shoulder, you know, trying to tackle a kid on defense. And that was just like, I don't know, that was a pretty loud shot.
Temporarily, the wheels completely came off.
And, yeah, and I mean, a couple plays later, poor Cameron Holman gets knocked out of the game. So, you know, two plays like that, and you could just, I mean, it was deathly quiet on Goochland sidelines and in the stands. It's just like, well, what do we do now? Because, I mean, Cam Allen was the real deal. He came to play. You know, it's really tough to stop. I thought Goochland's defense did a fantastic job keeping him out of the end zone. You know, he was getting his yardage and everything, but they were just holding him to field goals early on. But eventually,
or missed field goals.
Yeah, eventually that dam broke, you know, in the second half there. And even still, Goochland has a touchdown scored basically by its second-team offense, you know, aside from the linemen up front, and has an opportunity, like, okay, maybe if they get one more touchdown drive, we're talking about an onside kick and a chance to tie the game. That's obviously not how it played out. You know, Graham was able to roll in the end. It was just, I mean, they were too much of an uphill battle for Goochland to face, you know. You can handle a couple dips and dives, I think, in a state title game, but that kind of big swing of momentum. I mean, Graham got a touchdown right at the end of the second half to go up 17-3. 10-3 at the half is very different than 17-3.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, great fight. I mean, the kids never quit. Goochland's, you know, like we're talking about the second team offense. They go out and got a touchdown on them to make it interesting, you know. Cut it there to, I think it was 24-9 at the time or something like that.
And the defense stayed relentless, man. I mean, like you said, Allen was a handful to really deal with. But they did a really nice job defensively, I thought, of hanging in there and coming up with stops or, like you said, forcing field goals. You know, I mean, they were out there forever.
Yeah, the time possession was pretty warped one way. I thought Goochland's run defense was actually really, really good. I mean, the only guy that hurt them on the ground was Allen, and when he was scrambling. I mean, the improvisation that he threw at them, like, you just can't game plan for.
No.
It's just really tough. But, yeah, I thought
they're running, like, a sort of RPO-type role where, like, he'd roll out hard and then he'd make this sort of last-second pass. And I swear they must have run that play, like, 9 times.
Yeah, all their big chunk plays were
It helped. They flipped it out to that number 4 for them, who played a pretty darn good football game, too.
Yeah, I mean, Graham was the real deal. They took down all the big dogs in the tournament. You know, that was a one-loss team coming in, gets the third seed, probably underranked in that regard. But yeah, to do what they did against Radford and to do what they did against Goochland, you know, because in the end on the scoreboard, it's a pretty convincing victory. That is a well-earned state title. Like, that is a playoff run. And for Goochland, it's tough. It's just, you know, you'd like to see the score a little bit closer in that one. But we're talking about a senior class, you know, the last 3 years, 39 wins and 3 losses. And I think that's pretty remarkable. Obviously, 40-2 would have sounded a lot better, but 39-3, I mean, 39 wins in 3 years for any football program, that's 3 undefeated regular seasons. They're only losing in the playoffs. And it's not like they're losing in the first round. That's a pretty amazing run for a group of seniors that was, you know, they're good on both sides of the ball, but particularly defensively.
Yeah, I mean, it, like you talked about, you know, the grit and sort of the fight that they showed, and guys that embody that, like Sam Brooks, that was banged up earlier in the year and kind of came on really strong for them in the playoffs, did a number on Pocosin's offense.
Yeah.
Just played tremendous. We saw tonight he earned the Bill Dudley scholarship over in Richmond. That's a huge award for him. Some 1AA high academic team is going to get a shot at that kid, and they better take it because he's a heck of a football player.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a huge void to fill, but the interesting thing for Gushen looking forward is, I mean, McCray's going to be back and healthy. They've got a young CJ Tiles that they can work with. They've got a lot of the skill position pieces figured out already. So it's really, I mean, it's going to be, you know, Sam Brooks and Tyler May and Jacob Massey and those guys, they mean a lot.
Jamal Carter.
Yeah, Jamal Carter in there. The big guys up front. Those don't grow on trees, so that'll be sort of the area of concern for them growing up. But if you have those skill position players, I mean, what we saw from Graham, I thought was not all that different from what we saw from Javon Scruggs at Maddox. And we were talking about that a little bit. Like at the 2A level, if you have a quarterback that can operate like that, that is how you win state titles.
Yeah.
And if you have Devin McCray coming back, Goochland has a guy like that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see going forward how they sort of put the pieces back together. But it does feel like a bit of a changing of the guard, particularly in the trenches, for that program. But
some of those guys have been contributors for a long time, man.
Yeah, a lot of 3-year starters on that team. And you know, the 2016 team, that was a serious senior class that. You know, they managed to come back right there in 2017 and go undefeated in the regular season. So it's not like they haven't done this before. So we'll see if they can do it again.
Yeah. So that puts a wrap on football.
That's it. It's over. Yeah.
It's over. It's very sad. You can probably hear the sadness in our voices. Certainly hate to see it go. But we're diving hard into basketball season already. We lost a few games here early in this week with all the snow.
It's not basketball season until games start getting
moving. Until you got to start moving your plan around.
Yeah.
It's not there. But we did get a few rivalry matchups last week. Some really big and a really big performance. And let's start. C&G Smooth Operator of the Week. Let's start with the boys' side. It's got to go out to Louisa County's Chris Shelton.
Yeah, how about Chris Shelton? 34 points, 10 three-pointers. It sent you deep into the VHSL record book.
Man, there's nothing I love more than diving real hard into the VHSL record book. That is something that I don't know why, but I take a lot of enjoyment from. No question.
The fun part about it, like at least in the basketball standpoint, is like you're breaking these numbers down, and then you have to remember, like, you're talking about 32 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a very short window of time to be doing some of these things. But
and not only that, you're diving into the records of incredible, you know, guys who are, you know, incredible players. You know, this is not, no offense to North Dakota, but like this is not, you're not, you don't get in the record books here unless you were playing pretty darn well. Names like Alonzo Mourning and J.J. Redick that you've got to scroll, or Allen Iverson that you've got to scroll through. I mean, it's like there's a lot of awfully good basketball players that come out of the state. So anytime you can get your name even, you know, put alongside of or in any part of the VHSL record book is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basketball state by many standards, you know, it's particularly on the college side, I think.
Yeah.
We can make the argument there. Shelton, they needed him to be this kind of guy. It was an interesting game with Powhatan. Obviously, that's going to be a team to keep an eye on in the Jefferson District standings. I mean, we have not seen Powhatan throw their weight around in the district since they moved in. But this might be the year they do, playing Louisa like they did in that one. Shelton, he was the hired gun last year. It looks like he's all the part this year. That's a great way to start December.
10 three-pointers that he had, that gets him in the VHSL record book. Certainly, he's tied for fifth all-time. Yeah. Like, that's crazy to me. I mean, like, 10 three-pointers is a lot of three-pointers, you know, but I was a little bit surprised at that 14, I believe, is the record. I mean,
it just means you have to hit them all. I mean, it's the only way to look at it. Yeah. If your regular 3-point shooting percentage, if you made 10 of them, all right, you probably took 22 or 24.
Sure.
You know, and that's still a really good night.
Yeah.
It just means you have, like, you can't miss. You're having one of those nights.
I mean, it's like you said, it's just a short amount of time. And apparently, just from what we saw on Twitter and stuff, he did it in 3 quarters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. It's just absolutely nuts. So congratulations. Chris Shelton off to a great start. Again, a guy who's got some Division I interest. Some teams are going to get lucky to have a guy who's got that kind of range, got that kind of ability from beyond the arc, and I think plays defense really hard as well.
Yeah, he's a really long defender.
Yeah.
I mean, he can move.
So maybe he's a D3 guy for somebody in the next level, but we're not really we're not scouts. We don't know. So, but just really impressive performance from Chris Shelton. Happy to see him get off to that kind of start. And he's a guy who deserves what he gets because he's worked hard. Yeah. He's continually improved over the years.
Yeah, and there were some. I mean, there's some other good numbers out there. Chris Rogers out of Blue Ridge had a huge night. 26 and 9 assists for him. That's. I mean, we haven't seen that kind of scoring from him. You know, at Blue Ridge, he was sort of a distributor last year in a lot of ways, and I mean, just get the ball to McGee kind of thing. But that's going to be cool to see him sort of filling it out from a, you know, point standpoint. 9 assists, that's a regular Chris Rogers night. But and then Tommy Mangrum with a big night that you saw out of Monticello.
Yeah, 21 points, Tommy Mangrum. We knew what kind of player that guy was coming back. It's just that he's got so many new faces around him. But you could tell, talking to him after the game, how excited Tommy Mangrum was about how well they had played against Monticello. I think that was a big step forward for them. They had not, you know, Darren Maynard pointed out that they had struggled to kind of bring the energy level before that game, and they really had, you know, a high level of energy, a high level of productivity. They were really engaged, and I think that if you're engaged from the jump, that really can translate to a lot of things. It translated to a lot of scoring for Tommy Mangrum. And he does a great job on the boards as well. So it was good to see him kind of get into a rhythm, get going. And Darren Maynard said he'd played well from the jump for them. So if he gets the kind of supporting cast work that he got against Monticello, you know, then Western's going to continually improve as the year goes on with a lot of young players in the mix.
Yeah, that's an interesting sort of dynamic to watch unfold because there's just so much productivity that they had to replace, and it's just hard for
over
any
the last
program.
2 years, if you get real serious,
because you throw Ingram in there, and like I mean, that was
that's so a lot of high school points that have gone into that, and a lot of guys that you know, I mean, they're just really tough, hard nosed players. So you take a lot of identity out of those kind of guys like Jed Strickland that were kind of identity guys. Mangrum kind of gets foisted on him, and he looks like a guy who's up for the challenge. He said that he felt like that, you know, getting that win and getting that rhythm that they can be, you know, the sort of team that competes for a Jefferson District title. And if they can get into that rhythm and get going, and he scores 21 every night, they're going to be a tough out for everybody. Yeah. So solid start for Western to Jefferson District play. But still an easy pick for CNG Smooth Operator of the Week going to Chris Shelton. You don't see 34 points, and you certainly don't see 10 3-pointers very often.
No, but now do you know where you stand? Do you chase it? Do you go for 11? Do you go for 12? We'll see.
He's probably going to get his chances.
Yeah,
he's
what happens.
Get his chances. But they threw up like 90 points in that game. So the whole offense was clicking for
that's like one of those Stewart's Drafts games where when Monroe had to play him, it'd be like 124 to 123.
They just chuck it. Chuck it. But they were doing within the offense. I mean, they got, you know, Xavier Hunter, who is a guy you're a big fan of.
Yep.
I am too, but you've pointed him out in the past. 5 3-pointers of his own, 15 points. Isaac Haywood played well. Reggie Cosby played well. Jarrett Hunter played well. Terry Neely played well. And they had all these guys that scored. If Louisa has that kind of scoring and offensive punch, they're going to be tough on the rest of the district. There's just no getting around that. And, you know, that takes us to, we always do a CNG Smooth Operator of the Week on the girls' side. And that one's an easy choice as well.
Yeah, Nevaeh Ivory, that's a name that we've gotten pretty accustomed to over at Fluvanna. And just sort of in the girls' game is just a regular sort of like, I mean, a real stat filler too. Not just in scoring. That's a girl who gets a lot of steals, a lot of like sort of loose rebounds, assists, everything. Just sort of has a hand in everything. But 24 on one night and then 20 to follow. That's a pretty good day. 2 days for Nevaeh Ivory and Fluvanna and a pair of wins
Yeah, one win that was an overtime game, I think, against Turner Ashby.
Yep, and then another one with Orange. Yep.
Another one where they kind of blew the doors off Orange a little bit and got into a really good groove. That's a team that struggled against William-Monroe in the only time I've gotten to see them, but they were particular about why they were struggling. They were running man-to-man, and it's not recommended that you run man-to-man against against William-Monroe.
It's hard to pull off.
It's really, really tough to pull off. It's tough to put one person or even a rotation of single people on Sam Brunell.
They got one that's better than most.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they had gotten into. And their feeling was that that would help them as they kind of kept moving down the line. And they bounced back pretty well. Two good wins, and Nevaeh Ivory's kind of cooking right now. If she can keep scoring 20 in a game, she's going to be real tough for the rest of the district to handle. I mean, there are so many – it feels like there's a wealth of good guards in the Jefferson District right now. And then you got – we were going to talk about her too. Markayla Wilson has expanded her game where she can knock it down a little bit from outside. She scored 20 in a win over Charlottesville. You got Jess Antwi, T.C. Younger. Yeah. You got Elizabeth Kaufman. Like, there's a lot of players that can play on the perimeter.
And in Kaufman and Ivory, in particular, you have players with a lot of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, Ivory's just a junior, but she's been doing this since her freshman year. Mm-hmm. There was so much put on her shoulders, as a freshman. It seems like Fluvanna's sort of been building to this moment. They've been forever young for a couple years. So this is a big campaign.
They got some young players again this year.
It's a big campaign for them to watch these players sort of take that next step. It's one thing to be a good guard and then now sort of become a great one.
So, and obviously, then you also had another great performance by Sydney Sherman.
Yeah, 25 for her.
25 against Monticello. Sherman is just relentless on the boards. It's clear, we talked about Markayla Wilson has expanded her game so she can shoot a little on the perimeter. I think Sherman has just vastly improved what she's done. We wrote about it a little bit. She's just gotten just so much better from all different angles. She can attack front to the basket, chest to the basket. She just does a really nice job there. If she's got to get in the post and lock it up, she's tough to beat there. So Sydney Sherman's going to make things really tough. It's clear that the kids that were good last year are good, but they also got a little bit better. They added a little wrinkle. They added something new. That's a really, really strong, strong week that, you see from a Nevaeh Ivory, from a Markayla Wilson, from a Sydney Sherman. So a really good week from that side of things.
Yeah, a lot of back and forth. I mean, we saw a couple upsets, in our heads, I guess. I mean, for everybody else, the records are sort of top dog, underdog kind of games going on right now. But Albemarle girls with the win over Charlottesville, that's a big one for them. They're really sort of showing some depth.
Yeah, we can go ahead and put it in the books. We did the predictions podcast a couple of weeks ago. We go ahead and put it in the books that
Charlottesville won't be running the table.
Me, Bart Isley's personal prediction that Charlottesville girls basketball would run the table with JD. I clearly forgot just how even and tough the JD is on every given night since they lost the opener. So that's not on the Charlottesville girls by any stretch of the imagination. That
yeah, they're going to be back. I think.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine. I think they got back in that game. I think the Charlottesville girls are going to be a darn good team, probably going to compete for a district title. But clearly, maybe we're going to stay out of the predictions business. At least I am. Maybe you're going to nail everything. So
I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
We'll see.
But yeah, the Albemarle girls getting back into the mix. I mean, it's been a while, the KK Barber era, since they were one of the top dogs sort of there with Monticello and so forth at that time. But with Jamie Rodmacher and Wilson, we'll see. Wilson had two nights of 20. That's pretty reliable. You keep that going, you're going to be just fine. And Albemarle's usually one of the stingiest teams defensively, plays a lot of great team defense, rotates a ton of different girls in there, and sort of tries to give you that 32 minutes of hell. Usually their games have a ton of fouls in them. A lot of times it depends on the free throw shooting of another team. But we'll see what they have going forward. And obviously we know that Charlottesville's very good. Savannah's showing that they're very good. The Jefferson District on the girls' side, Western, I mean, there's just a ton of depth in there. I think these guys are just going to all beat the snot out of each other.
Yeah, and that's paid off. I mean, we've seen multiple teams in multiple classes make deep runs in certain years. Maybe this is that kind of year from the girls' side. So
yeah, and an interesting doubleheader there, too, with the boys following up. I mean, just a really emotional game for that boys' team. Just a lot going on in that one, and Albemarle coming up with the win there, and you know, really big game from Deshaun Taylor, Derek Jones, and Josh Morrison, the boys.
Yeah, Derek Jones. I don't know if you got to see it. Derek Jones' dunk, man.
Yeah.
Dude, he laid the hammer down. We've
seen him shoot well from outside. We haven't seen him fly that much because the paint was sort of occupied last year.
Yeah, and there's a guy named Jaquan Anderson that was holding on to the ball a lot, you know?
So, and they've sort of been waiting for this. This is, got the sort of breakout campaign written all over it for Derek. But cool to see that.
Just flushed it, man. Just incredible. I got multiple people texting me like, you should have seen this dunk. Like, we can't be at every game. We had people there. We're going to get it covered, but we can't be at every single game. But then I got to see it on video and I understood why everybody was talking about it. It was awesome dunk. It was a sweet dunk. Yeah. So, basketball obviously is starting to pick up steam, starting to roll. Hopefully we're going to get some games later in the week. Another thing we got to see on Friday night was Monticello's Friday Night Invite in wrestling. Great to get a chance to see some of these wrestling squads, especially some of these local squads early. That's really always fun. You know, the wrestling season really picks up in January where you get a lot of tournaments. Western hosts a couple of tournaments in January. It's a lot of times early it's tough to tell things, but right out of the gate, Orange County, they were really good last year, had a lot of state qualifiers, and they're back. And they got some of those key guys that are really back in a big way. David Stiegler at 138, he ended up winning the Monticello Invites wrestler of the tournament. Mm-hmm. And then you got Chance Bowers at 160, got the job done. Nikki Benner won a title at 145. Aaron Ratcliffe at 170, and Truth Wilson at 220. I mean, when you're jumping out of the gate and you're winning, you know, five individual titles at a pretty competitive meet, you know, there was a lot of different teams that, you know, have put together pretty good performances, and you know, there's some developing programs that were in that mix as well, like a Charlottesville that has a lot more kids in the room this year. But when you look at it, you know, there were some tons. There's a Clover Hill team, there's, you know, Lancaster, there's some teams that have had some success in wrestling, and for Orange to come out and make that kind of statement, that's a really good start to the year for them. I know they've got some other matches under their belt, but that's a good first look for me to see, you know, a guy like Stiegler, who's just a machine.
Coming off sixth place, I think, last year.
So when you get that kind of, you get these state placers and they come back, you come back with that kind of experience, and you've wrestled at a really high level, you're going to bring it right from the
beginning. Bowers finished third, so, I mean, they've got it. I mean, Orange traditionally has always been
It's a way up there. Great wrestling program. John Kayajanian, who the late coach for the Hornets, recently got put into Virginia Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, man. They got piled up wins, just stacked them like cordwood, man.
And did it, like, that was, they talked sort of the dark years at Orange when they jumped into the Commonwealth District. Orange went in that Commonwealth District, which is very good, and threw their weight around and manhandled everybody. Did a great job there. It's been seamless for Orange wrestling-wise. They just always seem to adapt, you know, at the 5A level, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just one of the great programs in the area. Really tremendous performance, and then the host Monticello got a championship from Jackson Perry, who we know is another state qualifier who's back in the mix this year. Sam Lewis was second at 160, and then Wayne Monroe, Quentin Morris 170. He ended up getting, you know, placing, and he had Alex Lloyd and Ben Yates sort of led the way too. So, some really good, you know, that's just four wrestling programs that we got a chance to see. We're going to see a lot more as kind of things move on. Fork Union had a really nice performance earlier in the year or a few weeks ago where they finished second at their own FUMA invite. And we're going to see, you know, Woodbury, we know, is always got some really key wrestlers, some guys who are stepping up. And then you got Covenant over there with Rick Weaver.
Yeah, going for the four-peat.
Yeah, so, I mean, just a lot of really good wrestling going on in the area. We're going to be keeping track of it. It was great to see, get a chance to see Orange. Orange actually has sometimes been a tough team for us to get to see because they have the 5A championships at the same time as the 3A, 4A stuff. So sometimes we don't get a chance to see them. to see them, you know, going to work on a Friday night and sort of the intensity of that atmosphere and doing a really nice job to take care of business. Really fun to see. So nice work by the Orange County program, and good to see all the wrestling programs starting to build a little more and starting to get a little bit of health and filling up those weight classes, because great sport. Great to see, you know, another option for folks during the winter season and kind of get it going.
Yeah, absolutely. Diversity is the spice of life kind of thing. We can't just have basketball.
We can't just have basketball. Yeah. We love basketball.
It's a long winter. I mean, we got to get through March.
That's right. No question about it. So a little bit of wrestling for you right there, and then a lot of basketball. Football is done, and hopefully we'll be back next week. Hopefully we're going to have some basketball games under our belts after this sort of brutal snowstorm. But we will be back with you next week to kind of check in on things.